Let us all have a word of prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you for this day and time.
Amen.
And for this love that you have showered and poured it into our hearts, O Father.
Amen.
And as I come here once again to stand here to preach your word, I pray that you may sanctify me, sanctify the hearers of Father Jesus.
Amen.
Let your word go deep down into everyone's heart.
Amen.
That we may decide to live for you, give our lives, surrender our lives to Father.
Amen.
And it's been, O God, these are the days when you're returning quickly, O Father.
Yes, Lord.
Change our hearts. And make us pure like you. We commit everything, O Lord, into the hands. In Jesus' name I ask this prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God.
And it's wonderful to be here again. Brother, when we came to the airport, you know, the brother said, "Brother, you have not left Singapore." I said, "Singapore is not leaving me." So, you know, I went to Philippines and I had a wonderful ministry there. And I will share my testimony. But, you know, I wanted to be there for close to 40 days. Like, I wanted to go to Butuan. But I was given only 30 days of visa. And I tried my best to extend my visa. But, you know, since it was an online visa, they have something called as the Type 9A, which is non-extendable visa. 30 days, then it's only 30 days. So I even wrote to the consulate here in the Philippines, but they said I have to go back to India. If I have to get my visa. So my 30 days period was over. I finished my work and I came back. So it was very wonderful to be in the Philippines. And I had some testimonies also. All through my ministry, God was working some. The Lord did some work, some miracles also took place. Some people who were sick were healed. There was one in Santa Ana, there was an old mother, 82 years old. For close to 1 to 2 months, she was on bed with a lot of pain. And her body could not move. So she was Sister Lena's mother from Santa Ana. And I went there to pray for them. You know, they were nearly, like, there was fear all around. The sister thought maybe my mother is going to die, you know, because she was 82 years old. And what do you expect to pray for an 82-year-old woman? Already she has lived her life. So the sister was saying, "Brother, I can't even pray and ask the Lord take her life because that is not the way that we are supposed to pray." And even I didn't know what to do because she was already 82 years old. But I laid my hands on her and I asked her, "What is your wish?" She told me, "I want to go to the church. I'm missing fellowship." You know, then I prayed to the Lord. I said, "Lord, she wants to go to the fellowship. She wants to go to the church back again. She wants to pray. And she wants to have fellowship with the brethren and hear the word. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you heal her." And I made a simple prayer and I came back. After 3 days, I think the sister is sending me a video that mother is sitting down and eating food. And she also went to the church and testified in the church. See? So God was confirming the word in that place. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever.
Amen.
The same things happened in Manila. When I was in Manila, I went to a home. Two places to pray. And one was arranged by one sister, Dorothy. She is from Fiji. And that sister had visited Santa Ana in 2023 when I was there preaching. So she was touched, and along with her husband, she got baptized, and I baptized her personally in the sea. You know, this sister. So this sister is right now in Manila, in Pastor, going to Brother Bon Bon's church. And this sister had arranged for a meeting. She had decided to call a few unbelievers, and they all wanted some prayers. And as usual, you know, unbelievers, they want some blessing. He said, okay, anyway, I will use this as a chance to go and testify to them about Christ. And I went and I prayed. And the place where we conducted the prayer, that landlord had his brother-in-law in the ICU. So he wanted, he prayed, he came for with a request, saying, my brother-in-law is in the ICU. So the question was now, should I go to the ICU to see the man? They said, no, they will not permit us to enter the ICU. I said, okay. But Jesus is everywhere. Jesus can enter any place. Hallelujah. But we cannot move. The Lord can move. His Spirit can move. I said, I pray from here. Lifted up my hands. Right in front of the house. And I prayed. The very next day, this man was, they were also afraid that he's going to die. But the very next day, he's out of ICU. See? And there was another person. We went to their home. That family were always having big fights. There was no peace in the family. And I went to testify about Jesus Christ. They were Roman Catholics, so I told them just to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I strongly preached from Psalms 23 and some portion of Psalm 91. And I showed them, because that sister was, both her kidneys are gone and she's having cancer. So I prayed over them. And just when I, after prayer, instructing them how to believe in Christ, I said, the Lord is present here in this place, you need to believe. And I said, the Lord is going to heal you. And I finished our prayer, I just went out of the house. As I go out of the house, these people, there was a sudden breeze, you know, cool breeze which entered the house. The place where we were was so hot. And it was a very congested area. You know, so it was like a sign. And the wind was inside the house. And it was like AC. You know. And they were wondering what happened. But from that night, that family has no more fights. They are full of peace. You know, right now I don't know about what has happened to them. Whether the Lord has healed her, I have not received any information. But the information that I received was, they are so happy now and they are praying as a unit. You see, so I told Brother Bon Bon to visit them. And moreover, you know, one more good news or great news is that, you know, the church in Manila has not taken communion for more than 3 years because they were having some internal issues. How to take communion? Whether it is not the misunderstanding, but what kind of vessel to use? You know, one brother is saying you need to use only one vessel. The other brother wants, okay, no, we can use different cups. And because of this fight, they stopped communion. I said, whether you're giving in one cup or whether you're giving in small cups, my brothers and sisters, everybody has a separate mouth. Huh? You cannot pour one cup in everybody's mouth at one time. I said, these are all simple reasons for us. Finally, they have forgotten to take communion. The wine is supposed to go inside your mouth. The bread is supposed to go inside your mouth, and people have forgotten that. You know, the water, the liquid substance takes the form of the bottle in which it is poured inside. Right? That doesn't make a difference. We believe in one Spirit, one Holy Spirit. What about the body? Body is different parts. Finger, everything is different, but yet we are one unit. So I said, as long as it depends on each church, let them decide how they want to give. But the point is, you need to take communion. The Lord told us to remember His death, which and His sacrifice. He told us to remember, His blood. And He told us to remember His flesh, which was torn apart for us. I said, these are the things which are very, very important. Let every church decide how they give the communion. I said, there is no such laws in the Bible. So, I think on Friday when I just was in the airport getting ready to board my flight, I received news. Brother Bonbon calls me and then he says, we are taking our first communion after 3 years. I said, praise be to God. Finally, the communion goes inside your mouth, remembering the Lord's death. You see, so the Lord was doing wonderful work in Philippines. Already, I have received calls. And in Negros and in Cebu, all these places, pastors have once again called me. And where I visited in Cebu, a place called Lapu-Lapu. I think Lapu-Lapu, right? And in that place, they had a meeting. After 20 years, pastors are coming together in unity to have a one-day conference. After 20 years. Because he said, most of the pastors separated due to doctrinal difference. But the young generation, the young pastors, now many old pastors are dead and gone. So now the new pastors, now they decide, we should not live like this. We should not have a life which we are separated from the fellowship. So they all try to come together. And by the grace of God, I just enter that day, you know. And I was not given a slot at the time. So Brother Abraham Sakain, he told me, Pastor, I'm very sorry. I don't have my slot, so I cannot tell anybody to give their slot. So you just have to come, get introduced to the people. So I started to pray. I said, Lord, you're bringing me first time, especially after 20 years, there's a gathering of ministers along with some of the congregation. And you just want me to go sit down there quietly. You know, I spent so much of money coming everywhere, all the way 6,000 kilometers from India to Philippines. And so I just prayed to the Lord. The next day morning, I received an information. One young minister, coming up minister, he said, I would like to give my slot to Pastor Shadrach. Because he's come all the way from India. So we need to listen to what he has to say. And by the grace of God, I got my slot, but mine was the last one. You know, it nearly started at 3:45 and people are, they are already, their minds are packed. They want to go home. And some of them are feeling very sleepy. There was many youth because they were spending a lot of time in worship and prayer. So I said, Lord, now this is the most challenging time for me. And everyone had their lunch as usual. You know, preaching after lunch is very difficult everywhere. So I said, okay. But God put the words in my mouth. I never use quotes. I preach it from the scriptures. And many of the young ministers were touched. You know. So then after the meeting was over, everybody is asking for dates. They said, which day Brother Shadrach will be free. So Brother Abraham said, we cannot arrange it this time, but maybe surely next time. So they have called me in the month of August and September for 2 months. God willing, I will come back in August and September to the Philippines. So God did a work in that place, and I'm very happy to be led by the Spirit of God to go to those places. And Pastor Graciano, wonderful man. I really liked him. His heart is very pure. The last meeting was in Amlan. So when I went and preached there, again, I never used any quotes. I gave the same message which I preached on Zoom, friend, brother, and disciple. But I took it in a different angle, you know, in that place, as the Lord led me. So after the meeting was over, Pastor Graciano came and he said, Pastor Shadrach, Brother Shadrach never used any statement or quotes of Brother Branham. But yet, he has not gone out of the message. You see, he said, he preached exactly the same truth. And he preached according to what God has put in his heart. So he said, so we need to accept Brother Shadrach and we need to invite him. So Brother Pastor Graciano is about to, he's ready to call about 9 to 10 ministers who are cooperating and working with him. And they want to have a kind of convention for 3 days. So I told them, next time when I come, I want to bring certain truth to this place. So the ministry was very beautiful. Filipino people, as usual, very loving people. And the Filipino food, you know, rice morning, 6 o'clock rice, 11:30 rice. And India also, we have rice, but we have only in lunch, you know. Lunch, we have rice. But here, it was 6 o'clock morning, I have to see the rice. Wake up with rice and sleep with rice. So I cut short my breakfast. You know, I eat only 11:30. I go for lunch straight away, and in the evening I have something. So it was wonderful, but the food and everything was nice. God had this was something different for me. Last time when I came to Philippines, I was only in one place, Santa Ana. But now the Lord led me to different places. I could see different people, different cultures. So I thank God for all these things. And you know, you're a lechon, huh? Lechon, everywhere. So anyway, God is gracious. He fed me well. And I thank God for everything. You see, so the Philippines trip was a success in Jesus' name. And I give all glory to God. This is one burden which the Lord has placed in my heart. So surely I'm planning to come back again as the Lord leads me in the next season. So let's go to the message today. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13. Somebody from the congregation, you can read.
For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we are living.
Praise be to God, and today my message is the sword of the Lord. I thank God for His revelation, for His truth, for all that God has given to us. Now as believers, we need to give our lives, surrender ourselves, and as believers, we need to give up everything that comes against God's will. And here, Paul is speaking about the word of God as quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word of God is so powerful. When God created man, he created a heart with spy camera. Right? You have spy camera inside. You have everything. People, whatever you think is heard loud before the throne of God. Whatever you're speaking within your heart is heard loud. Whatever you're thinking is shown like a video before God. This word of God is so powerful that nothing can be hid before God. That is why we as believers need to become honest before God and before men. We cannot have double lives. We cannot play the role of a hypocrite. Now, hypocrisy in the Greek word means drama or actor. Somebody is acting, trying to be someone whom he is not. And that is why the Lord wants to straighten our lives. The Lord wants the believers to be honest, faithful, and committed to Christ. We should have a life so pure and so crystal clear before God and before men. And that is why Paul is using the word of God as a powerful tool, as a two-edged sword. Now I was thinking, why is this thing used as a two-edged sword here? Now you see, in the old times, when there were battles, the soldiers who were in the forefront used to hold a two-edged sword. And there was another long sword which was used by the horsemen. You know, those who are sitting on the horse, they have long swords. So they come in the horse and bend down and cut the people. But whereas those who are standing in the front line, they had to use the two-edged sword, because there will be no time for you to turn. Before you turn the sword, somebody can cut you. So they use the two-edged sword, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. You don't need to turn it, right or left. Both the sides are sharp. So the word of God is like a two-edged sword. It means there is no escape for us from God. Once we have become believers, now we are in the hands of God, who is having a two-edged sword, which is His word. Now this portion, when we go to this portion, let's go to the Old Testament and see some things from the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Leviticus chapter 1 from 5. You can read it from 5 to 9. Yes, brother. Leviticus chapter 1, from the 5th verse to the 9th verse.
And you shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priest. Aaron's sons shall drink the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall kill the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a first sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor of the Lord.
Hallelujah. When the sacrifice was given to the Lord in the Old Testament times, they used to take a ram or a bullock or any beast which is placed on the altar. The priest should cut the flesh in a way that he should not have mercy on the beast. No having mercy. You cut it in a way that the kidneys, the heart, all the inside parts are all come out on the altar. You just have to imagine yourself what a mess the altar would have been. And that is how the priest used to use this sword, two-edged sword, to cut down the flesh, cut the internal parts, everything is exposed, it comes out. Now, we see the same example in Abraham and Isaac. When Isaac was placed on the altar and Abraham was ready to take the knife, this is also speaking about Jesus was kept on the cross by the Father, and Jesus was the sacrifice. So it means God did not have mercy on His own Son who had no sin. Right? If God did not have mercy on His own Son who did not have sin, do you think God will spare us? Do you actually think God will spare us? Many of us think that we can just walk away. We cannot. We are accountable to God because we have been purchased by His blood. And each and every one, whoever has received grace, we are accountable to that blood because grace is free. God is not obligated to save us in any way. Because we were all already condemned in Adam. Every one of us fallen short of glory of God. But grace is given to us because God's eye fell on us. Sometimes I used to wonder about grace. What is this grace? And then, you know, one day, as I was walking, there was an insect on the way, you know. When I was walking, my legs, my shoe would have nearly crushed that insect. But then suddenly I moved my leg and I walked off. Then the Spirit of the Lord was speaking in my heart. He said, "This is how I've shown mercy to you." We all are supposed to be crushed under the feet of the Holy One. We are all supposed to be, we are all a condemned creatures. There is no need for God to save us, but yet, you know, there are many souls which are being crushed under His feet, and every day many are dying with the judgment of God, but yet we are alive. We are no different from them. They are not dying because they are great sinners and we are little sinners. They do not die. They are not dying because they have done something, you know, great sin, and we all have escaped because we had only little sin. No. We are equally condemned, so like the mud. That is grace. Somewhere on the way, when God was walking and crushing these men under His feet, somewhere His eyes fell on some insect, some creature like me. And that is what grace is all about. Then I'm accountable to walk in the path of God according to His will. Since grace is being poured into my heart and the love of Christ has been given to me freely, we are not permitted to sin freely because grace came freely. And that is why the sword of God is like a correction. That is why the word of God comes to correct our lives, especially for the believers. Now, as believers, when we are walking, the Lord Isaac, when he was placed on the altar, now Isaac is asking, "Father, the wood is ready, the altar is ready. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, you are the sacrifice. Don't you think if Isaac wanted to run away, he could have run? He must have thought, oh, what happened to this old man? He's gone mad. My father has gone mad now in his old age. But Isaac knew that he has to place himself on the altar. Every one of us. Now just like the priest were taking the sword and cutting the flesh mercilessly, the Holy Spirit, when He's dealing with us, when He's dealing with the sin inside us, He will deal harshly. And we need to go through that sword and accept it as the Lord's correction. That is the only way for us to come out of that old nature. Many people try to reform their old nature. You can make no reformation, my brothers and sisters. You should only crucify the flesh. That is why Paul is saying, I am crucified. You cannot alter this old man. You cannot reform him. You can do nothing about it. It's gone. That's the reason we are going to get new bodies. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's going to be a new body. Not made out of hands. But which has been created by the very word of God. And in the day of rapture, when the Lord is coming, when the Lord is coming to transform His bride, that will be the day that we receive this new body. But until then, this flesh has to be crucified. Let's go to Exodus chapter 29. From 11 to the 14.
And thou shalt kill the product before the Lord, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take of the blood of the product, and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the column that is above, the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar. But the flesh of the blood, and his skin, and his dung, thou shalt burn with fire without the camp. It is a sin offering.
We see here again, it is not just the killing, it is the burning of everything. Take the skin, the 14th verse. Flesh of the bullock, his skin, and his dung shall thou burn with fire without the camp. Now I understand what Paul was trying to say in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and 8. Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And the 8th verse.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but scum, that I may live Christ.
Now you know why Paul used this word dung here? Because in the Old Testament it says you have to burn out all the dung. Any self-wisdom, self-will, self-knowledge, and anything to do with the flesh, the sins of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, everything has to be considered as dung. Some of the Greek translators say that human waste. Paul used the word, the Greek word is human waste. Because Paul knew what he was talking. He had read the Old Testament. Now you are the altar. You are the sacrifice and you need to lay down on the altar. So God, the Holy Spirit, through His priesthood work, will bring out all the dirt and filth outside. And finally burn everything with the power of His Holy Ghost. There is so much of flesh, my brothers and sisters. It's so strong. You cannot take it lightly. Some people, you cannot just, when there are, you know, in my place, whenever there is a little, some kind of snake, mostly I and there is one more brother, we only go to kill the snakes. As long as the snake is outside the territory, I have no problem. I don't go to kill the snake. But when the snake enters into your home, you need to kill it. You cannot look at the snake and say, bah, ju, 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 my dear, bah, bulu, bulu, bulu. It's snake finally. You cannot look at your thing, oh, this is just a little sin. This is just a little character in me. It's okay. No. The sword has to bring everything out. And nothing can be hid before God. Now, I don't know whether this incident is true, but I learned a lesson through that. I read in an article, now I don't know whether the incident is true or whether science proves it is true and all, but this article which I read, I got something from that. Somewhere in America, they said there was a woman who was having a python as a pet. And she used to feed it very often. Is that true, brother? Read about it? She used to feed it very often and it grew to a certain size, bigger than her. She was keeping it. You know, sometimes it used to sleep with her in the bed. And there was a time after it grew very big, 6 months it never ate anything the lady gave, that woman. So the woman was worried. How come my pet is not eating now? What happened to that? And every day it was lying down in the bed with her. You know? Every day. But it was not eating anything. And then she called the doctor. She checked what happened to my pet. My jujuju bulu bulu is not eating anything for 6 months. They came and they saw everything. They checked on that and they gave a shocking information to the woman. They said, for 6 months it did not eat anything and it was just lying down with you on the bed because it was trying to analyze whether you will fit inside its stomach. Now sometimes small sins become big sins like anaconda. If you don't kill it in the beginning, it will become a big snake to destroy your life. This is where many believers have stumbled, many ministers have stumbled. You don't need to hide anything before God. There is no need for you to go and confess your mistakes or your things which are deep down in your heart. You don't need to share it to anybody. But you need to share it to our Lord Jesus Christ, who knows us. He is there to help us. Jesus means, what is the name of Jesus? The one who saves us from sins. We have to go to Him. It may be a small jealousy. You may be jealous about somebody else. You may have the habit of gossiping. And Philippine airport was full of gossip. Laughing and very nice, but you know, the noise and sound in Manila. But sometimes it's nice, you know, within the family it's okay. But there shouldn't be any kind of gossip going on in the church, bringing disunity in the church, disharmony in the church. We may think these are all small sins. But we should know there is no small sin and big sin in God's sight. How do you evaluate Peter and Judas? Whose sin was greater? Now someone may say, oh, Peter only, you know, 3 times he rejected the Lord. But Judas, he betrayed the Lord for money. Brothers and sisters, there were no difference. Bible tells Peter even used a bad language against Jesus. You know, the word cursed, he said he cursed Jesus. Now, cursing is some kind of filthy language which is used in today's times. So Peter was nearly using filthy language. He said, I don't know this man. What are you coming and telling me? What difference it was? Judas' sin was greater or Peter's sin was greater? Both their sins are same in the sight of God. You cannot say, oh, it's just a small jealousy. That person committed adultery. He has done a big sin. I have only a small sin. No, in God's sight, sin is sin. There is nothing big or nothing small. You know, sometimes the judgment of the world is funny. If somebody will steal $10, I don't think he will go to jail for that. But if somebody will steal $10,000, he will go to jail for it if he doesn't return the money. Because the world is thinking, oh, that's a small sin. $10, leave it. Give it or leave this fellow. Don't do it again, huh? But when somebody has stolen $10,000 and he's not able to repay, he can face the jail, he can face the law. Because the world has derived as small sins and big sins. But the same person who sold, who stole $10, if he is given a chance to steal $20,000, he will do it. Somebody had a chance to steal more, and somebody has a chance to steal only $10. But the sin is inside. And that is why you cannot say Peter sinned little and Judas sinned more. The only reason that Peter was saved is because Peter went bitterly, cried, asked the Lord for forgiveness. He went to the cross. That's the only difference. Judas did not go to Jesus. Judas did not place himself on the altar. But Peter was ready to place himself on the altar. He placed himself on the altar that he was even ready to die upside down, hanging on the cross. It means they gave everything to God. So we cannot hide our character. We cannot hide our sin. Before God, He is light. Even the Father of light. The Father of lies. You know, Jesus called Satan as Father of lies. But do you know, even the Father of lie cannot lie to God? That is where he is defeated. In the book of Job, the Lord is asking, when the children of God have gathered and Satan has come, there the Lord is asking Satan, Satan, where have you come from? He said, Lord, I've just been roaming around all the earth. See, he could have said something else. I was meditating. Or he could have said, I was in the depth of hell, sitting quietly, doing nothing. Because he cannot lie to God. If we had asked Satan the answer, he may have said something like that. I'm doing yoga. Peace. I'm not disturbing anybody. He can lie to mankind, but not to God of lights. Not to the Father of light. Even the darkness, the Prince of Darkness has to speak the truth. Because before God, nobody can hide anything. The problem with believers is they don't want to be an open book before God. need for you to go and speak about your weakness or your troubles to man, because everybody is not going to be kind to you. If believers are not matured when they come to know about the other brother's weakness or a sin, they may crucify that brother or sister. If you do have such a good friend, blessed is your friend. If you can share everything with your brother or sister openly, blessed is that person. Blessed are you to have one, such a one. But it's a very rare case, right? Then we need to go before God. Everything is naked before Him. That is why I preached one day in my church. I asked my people, why do you think Adam and Eve were chased out of the Garden of Eden? So most of the answer was because they sinned. And I believe everybody, you're going to give me that answer. The Lord never, if you watch Genesis very clearly, the Lord never chased them out of Eden because they sinned. The Lord had to chase them out of Eden because they covered their sin. Because when they sinned, they were still in Eden. And when God came searching, Adam, Adam, where are you? They were still in Eden. You got it, what I'm trying to say? They were in Eden. He came searching. Why? God wanted to give a helping hand to Adam. If Adam would have confessed truthfully, if he would have confessed truthfully, coming before God naked instead of hiding themselves with fig leaves. The problem today is when you come before God, people try to hide their character, their wrongdoings before God Himself. And that's the trouble. A believer, you cannot hide yourself before the Almighty One. My eye sees all through the earth. He says in Isaiah, my eyes move all through the earth. Right? So His eyes is everywhere. He knows everything. He's everywhere, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. He's all powerful. So where can we hide? Where can we run? How long can you run? And how far will you run? It's high time. The bride of Christ will come before the presence of God. Each and every member of the church, all of you who can see yourself in the light of the Word, in the mirror of the Word, go check your lives and see what you are missing. And go before the presence of God to correct the life.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be the name of God.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So do not, you need to come to the altar. Do not try to hide. Don't try to move away from the altar. The cross, the sword is powerful. And we need to give ourselves to the sword. We need to place ourselves on the altar because we are the sacrifice today.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit is doing the work of the high priest. And remember one thing. The Lord will never force you. If you don't want a change in your character, don't expect God to help you. Satan is the one who will possess. Satan is somebody who will force you to do things. God will never force you to be holy, but He will instruct you to be holy. From the scriptures, He will instruct you to be holy. He will call you to the altar and say, come. Just like Isaac, when Abraham said, told Isaac, you are the sacrifice. He was ready to place down his life. It means we need to cooperate with the Spirit of God. He has to pour that Spirit in our hearts so that we place ourselves on the altar. Today, the church should have the true holiness of that living God. When Isaiah sees a vision in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, when he sees the Lord seated on the throne, the angels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." Let's come to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah chapter 6. From 1 to 1 to 5.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one with 10 cherubims. With 12 he covered his face, and with 12 he covered his feet, and with 12 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory."
Amen.
And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, and the Lord of hosts."
Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Now we see a man called Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah was a prophet. He was a minister of God. And we know the book of Isaiah consists of 66 books, chapters. And that is why we believe the Bible had 66 books, right? And Isaiah is like from the beginning of Isaiah till the end of Isaiah, it's like the whole Bible is exposed to you. Now this Isaiah till the chapter 5, he's being a prophet, he's speaking against the sin of Israel. In the 6th chapter, he's seeing his own sin. In the process of his ministry, in the process of his spiritual life, somewhere God brings out the inner man of Isaiah. He exposes him. He brings him on the altar. Immediately when you become a believer, not everything of you is exposed. But as you are walking in the truth, day by day, as you are growing in the truth, in maturity, when more and more light comes inside. Now, you know, in our villages, we have this tile houses. Now, I don't know how many of you here in Singapore, you don't see anything like that. But in our villages, right, we have the tile house. You know, some, one, in among all the tiles, you know, there'll be one tile, not a tile exactly, that'll be like a glass, fixed, along with the other tiles. So that is for the morning sunlight to come inside the house. So early in the morning, whenever I used to go stay in the village when I was a small boy, you know, the looking at the sunlight coming through the glass was like a game for us. You know why? We used to see millions of dust particles being exposed to that sunlight. Until then, the house looks good, clean. You know, it is all dark, so if somebody early in the morning, my grannies used to sweep the house, mop the house, keep it very clean. But yet when the sunlight comes and strikes from the glass, when the sunlight comes inside the house, you see millions and millions of dust particles. The more you are enlightened, the more you see your weakness.
Amen.
The more you are enlightened, the more you know what a fragile man that I am. This is one of the ways for the Lord to show us you people are just human beings. You are standing because I have given you the grace. Isaiah, who was speaking so powerfully, 5 chapters, you should read it in your homes. Attacking Israel on every side. And now in the 6th chapter, God attacks him. Oh, I pray the Lord will bring his sword in everybody's life. The sword, I think we should all kiss the sword of God. When he brings a sword in our lives, that's the time. We really start to know who we are and what we are supposed to do. And these holy angels, look at these seraphims. With 2 wings, they are covering their face. With 2 wings, they are covering their feet. And with 2 wings, they are flying. We know these angels, which are standing before the presence of God, have not sinned against God. Yes, we know another group of angels, Lucifer and his angels, who have sinned and gone against God's will. But these angels, which are standing before the presence of God, they are covering their 2 faces. They are covering their face with the 2 wings. They have not sinned, yet the glory of God is so powerful. And what was the glory? The glory was holy, holy, holy. We all know God is powerful. We all know that God does mighty works. We all know that God is gracious and so many things. But the first title of the holy angels is holy, holy, holy. Those angels which have not sinned yet cannot see the face of God, yet cannot stand in the presence of God, that they are covering their feet and they are flying. Lord, we are not worthy to see your face. Lord, we are not worthy to stand in your presence. It means today the church should go to a place, to go to that extent, we need to go beyond the glory of these angels, where we see the face of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Where we stand in the presence of God, and that is only because of his blood. What kind of people we are supposed to be? What kind of name should we have? Should we have a name? Oh, these people have great revelation about the book of Revelation. Is this the name that we should carry? Oh, I can read every chapter in Revelation. I can explain everything. Sometimes when I talk to other pastors in my place, to the Pentecostal pastors, other pastors, say, brother, where did you get so much of knowledge? You seem to explain the book of Revelation, everything so clearly. They are surprised. But yet, I don't seek revelation. I don't seek to, you know, to prove to everybody that I need to, that I can explain from Genesis to Revelation. What we need to prove to the people is, I have received a change because I came to the cross of Jesus Christ. And he has taken out all my sin. And he is dealing with my life every day to make me holy just like him. That is why the Bible says, I am holy, be ye holy. He did not say, I am powerful, be ye powerful. He said, I am holy. Because once we come to the altar, once we are placed on the altar, and the lambs have become pure and clean before God, automatically you will become powerful. Many people want to have power without holiness. Many people want to serve as Christians without living a righteous life. In fact, God has never deleted the Ten Commandments. He has only established it inside our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God never removed the Ten Commandments. It is still there. It is alive. The righteousness of God, the holiness standard of God, it should be established in us. Because God is holy and we need to be holy. And that is the reason that we have to come to the altar. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, see how the Lord is sanctifying another man. He uses the sword. Exodus chapter 4, 21 to 26. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hello.
Amen.
Are you all with me?
Amen.
Amen. Exodus chapter 4, 21 to 26.
And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. But I will harden his heart, and he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me.
Praise be to God.
So let him go.
Yeah.
Then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision.
Praise be to God. The Lord did not spare Isaiah. He saw it in Isaiah 6. And now the Lord did not spare Moses. You know, God gave him a commission. There's a commission to Moses. The Lord even told Moses, you will be like a God. And Aaron will be like your mouth. It means if Moses is going to Egypt, it is not Moses, but God is going to Egypt. A man who was commissioned by God to go and deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, as he was moving with his wife Zipporah and his son towards Egypt, it says God met him to kill Moses. Whoa. This should bring fear in our hearts. This should really bring fear in our hearts. People think ministry is very easy. One thing which I never wanted to do in my life was ministry. Today people want to stand here in the altar, stand here and preach the word of God, but people don't know what a dangerous place this is. I started my ministry when I was 19 years old. Maybe I was not so matured in those days. There was a lot of ups and downs, no doubt, but I've been serving Christ from the age of 19 and nearly 32 years have gone. But yet, every time I come here on the altar, I shake until the Lord will strengthen me.
Amen.
This place is not an easy place. In fact, if somebody wants to come to the ministry, I will tell him, pray 1,000 times and get all the confirmation from God that you have been called by God and then come for ministry. You cannot just come and stand. This is not some place to play games. Moses, a man, there are two olives, olive trees, the right and left of God. And Moses is one of them. Yet this man Moses, when he failed to do God's will, God was ready to kill him. What God is trying to say is, I can raise up thousands of Moses. This is a lesson which has to be learnt. Why? Moses is having a ministry among the circumcised, and his own son was uncircumcised. See? Sometimes we preach to others, but there'll be a lot of flaws and mistakes in our own lives. That's why God came to kill him. The Lord brought his sword. He went to kill Moses. Zipporah, his wife, understood the matter. She said, oh, we are going among the circumcised. And this son of Moses, he was the firstborn of Moses. And Egypt and the children of Israel are called as the firstborn. So he's going to deliver the firstborn, and his own firstborn is uncircumcised. The wife understood what has happened. And now, usually the circumcision takes place on the eighth day. To Abraham, when the Lord made a covenant to Abraham, he said, on the eighth day, every child shall be circumcised. And today, till date, the Jews follow that. Because the skin, foreskin, is very smooth, easy to be cut. Now here, he's a big, young lad. What a pain. Look, she took not even knife, sharp stone. You know, when a big man, people who have been circumcised, young men, due to certain reasons, they stay in bed for 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks. You remember Jacob's sons, what they did? When an outsider, uncircumcised man came and slept with thy sister, put her to shame, but he was ready, he was loving her, he said, I want to marry. And Jacob's sons, you know what they did? They told, okay, we will give our sister, because she was the only sister. We'll give our sister to you, but all of you men should circumcise. So all the men, they believed Jacob's sons and they circumcised. And when they were in their weakest condition, sons of Jacob goes inside and kills everybody. That is the most weak time for a man. And here, he's a young boy. Look at the pain. So what I'm trying to say is, how much ever the pain will be, sometimes the Lord will keep his knife to take those things which are displeasing to the Lord. Because God is not going to change his mind. If he has decided to make us a holy church, then he will see we are cut by the knife, however painful it is. We only think about sometimes believers fail to correct their children. Some of my believers come to me and say, Pastor, he is not obeying. Please do the correction. I said, if I do the correction, your child will think that I am a demon. Parents, you are supposed to correct your children. We will support you from background. Why is your child disobedient? Your child is following you. Children follow the parents. Children don't do what you say. They do what you do. Sometimes parents fail, like Moses. He failed to correct his own son. He failed to show him the truth. What he's supposed to do. So God's anger was kindled against Moses, that a man like Moses was to be killed in wilderness by God. It means I need to stand every moment that we stand before the presence of God. Let us stand with fear and trembling. Anytime God can use His word. Anytime. You know, I was called to the ministry, first of all, I never wanted to come to the ministry. And God had to use the sword. One of the sword was Jerry Fernandez ministry, that all of you must have read in my testimony. Brother Gann is the one who chose that title, you know, deceived by the false prophet. I told him, brother, all through my life, people when they read it, deceived by a false prophet, I was not comfortable. You know, so I have had my talks with Brother Gann, okay? Some of you don't know. We have had our talks, our fights. Love fights, actually. So I told Brother Gann, you put the title, deceived by false prophet. You know, Brother Gann gave me a very mature statement. Yes, I put it. Now give your testimony. What has happened after the Lord delivered you? That's testimony. You know, then I let that thing, I didn't want that thing to change. I said, let it be that way. People only saw, oh, Shadrach went into some wrong teaching. But actually, the Lord took me to the sword. Through the sword. He took out so many things after I went to that ministry. My self-thoughts. My boasting. Maybe I was boasting. Maybe I was proud. Oh, what great revelation we have. I'm doing the ministry from 19 years old. I'm a small boy. I was a small boy when the Lord called me. I don't know. But after that incident, after that 3 years of time, there is a lot of change in me. I have become more sincere than what I was when it started. And later stages, I just wanted one church. I said, okay, Lord, I'll come to the ministry, but I just want one church. Maybe 50 believers, 100 believers. It will increase to 200 believers. That is what all our pastors in India, the Pentecostal pastors, they come to ministry in 3 years to 5 years' time. They have a car, they have a house. I don't know what magic is that. And here we have been working and working and working. When I look at my bank balance, oh, so much of offerings have come. But where is that? It comes and it goes. Our hands are just like river. River keeps passing. You cannot stop it. You cannot hold it. But I don't know how the Pentecostal pass. 3 to 5 years. Well settled. Brother Presley knows about what I'm saying. Many of the Pentecostal people have even told me, why is it so many years you're working? But look at the Pentecostal. Look at the small boy. He came to ministry 5 years back. Now he has a house. He has a big car. That's prosperity preachers. But God never let me into all those things. When I wanted to have a big church, everything should be under my control. Okay, I will do the ministry. I will get a good name. Oh, Pastor Shadrach is walking. When he's walking, people are standing and bowing down. You know, we are also human beings. Sometimes things happen. But every time I want to settle down just with one church, God had to place a sword. And one of the sword was my baby being taken out. Because I never wanted to go out. I said, okay, now I'm married. Now after 5 years we are having a child. I have a church. There are people coming and giving me tithes and offerings, right? I'm settled down. I never wanted to move out. I didn't want to go out. And God took my child. For 3 years, the Lord did not speak. I went on asking God, why did you take? Lord, if I had made a mistake, you are supposed to punish me. Why did you? After 5 years, my wife conceived. And now you take this child away. And that was too much for me. But God never answered me at the time. After 3 years, when India Vision started, when I realized I cannot sit in one place, when I realized My call is not just to sit in one church and to preach, but I have to go out. God has called me as a missionary. Because 19 years old, when the Lord called me, He said, you will not be in one place. I will take you to many places. I didn't even understand that God has called me as a missionary. But to come to that place, it took a lot of time. The Lord anointed David, but it took 18 years for him to sit on the throne. Until then, David had to go through the throne, through the sword. It took 18 years. Sometimes God calls us. He anoints us for a call. But for the call to be fulfilled, we have to go through the sword. When I started my India ministry, I myself did not know how things are happening and moving. I had no idea. Somewhere from somewhere, some offering keeps coming and I keep moving. There were times when I had such hard times. You know, one whole year, I remember some sisters coming. Pastor, we want to give you this gold chain. Some sister will come. Pastor, I want to give you this gold coin. You know, God had different ways of dealing when He called me for the work. And 3 years, after 3 years, I was really running around. Then the Lord opened my understanding. Why He took the child? Because one child was gone and all 3 years my heart was like weeping whenever I remember the child. I couldn't even hold the child in my hand. When the child died, my wife was in the ICU. And I had to bury my baby in the church premises. And morning I bury my baby. Evening I have to translate for Pastor James Veramo. I didn't even have time to cry for my baby. Because we need to go through the sword. After 3 years, the Lord reveals to me. He said, one child of yours died. And till today you have been crying. How many sinful souls are dying every day? How much my soul will be grieving? How much will I be weeping? I place my burden on you. Sometimes God uses sharp sword to make us understand. Because we are foolish. Please, believers, don't think you people are wise. That's why the Lord, Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I remember this brother Gann preached in my church in 2009. He said, do you know why? He asked my congregation, do you know why the Lord said the Lord, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. Tell me why the sheep requires a shepherd. So everybody gave different answers. And I was translating. Then Brother Gann said, because we are stupid, he said. The sheep are stupid. They cannot find their own way. God can find their own way. But sheep cannot. Sheep is lost without a shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd because we are stupid. We need a guiding hand. And sometimes the Israel shepherds are so cruel. If some sheep is disobeying, because of one sheep, he has to leave many sheep and run after this one sheep. So sometimes the shepherds will take a big rod and break the leg. They break it in such a way that the sheep has to limp. So the shepherd will afterwards, he will put medicine for it, carry the sheep on his shoulders, and he will be walking. When we disobey, because of one disobedience, the whole church may be in trouble. Because of one disobedient family or one disobedient, one single person, the entire church will be in trouble. And God has to use His sword. He has to use the rod of correction. How can David say, your rod and your staff and your rod will comfort me? What comfort do we get with the rod? Just rubbing our back, scratching our back. Rod is to break. And that is what? Placing ourselves on the altar where the sword of God will cut and completely clear our lives. In the hospitals, when I was praying for my wife, you know, I made a statement. I said, Lord, I will go anywhere to preach. Wherever you send me, I will go, but just save my wife. You see, the Lord had to bring those words out of my mouth. And for that reason, my poor wife had to sleep in the hospital. Sometimes I tell her, I'm very sorry. Because I was disobeying the Lord's call. I was always afraid to come and stand here and preach. I thought, okay, I'm not worthy for all these things. But the more I tried to run away from the ministry, the Lord had to bring me. Oh, beloved of God, let's continue. I have a few more minutes. Let's go to Jeremiah. Chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and the 4th verse. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ye men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Now the Lord is telling in the book of Jeremiah to the children of Israel, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Those who have the knowledge of God, those who know the true word of God, you need to come to the altar yourselves. Why do we come to church every week? Or why do you gather on Wednesdays? Or you have your Zoom meetings on Fridays? Sometimes people come and tell us, you know, good preaching. I won't be satisfied with that answer. When they come and tell, good preaching, I'm not happy. What change did it bring in you? You tell me that. If my preaching has not brought any change in you, then I'm taking a bigger rod next week. Amen. I'm not here to, so that you people will clap your hands at my preaching. Oh, super. Who wants your praises? You should be deaf like the frog. And a frog was climbing a hill. All the animals were discouraging the frog. You cannot make it. You cannot make it. But the frog climbed up. And then somebody, one of the fox went to the Lion King and said, King, how come we all discourage the frog from climbing the mountain? But it climbed up. Lion said, oh, you stupid fox. The frog is deaf. Let us be deaf to this world. Hallelujah. Praises of men, be deaf. Discourage of men, be deaf. In my beginning stages, you know, anybody will say, oh, you don't have a ministry. God has not called you. There was so much of discouragement. And I used to be so much discouraged. I've gone into depression. Deep depression. But nowadays I don't care. Because I know my call. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what God is doing through our work. What changes is bringing in the lives of people. So let us be deaf-like. Like the frog, just keep climbing. We need to reach the mountain. We need to reach Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we don't need to... I don't want to see anybody praising. Okay, if you like the message, it is not wrong for you to say, the message was good. But if it has touched you, tell me, this is what touched me. You preach on something which hit me. There are some believers who come and tell, really today, my heart was touched by this message. And may the message bring a change in your life. Now he's telling, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. How? By coming to the church to listen to the preaching, which is the sword of God and character of life. How do you circumcise your heart? By fasting and praying.
Amen.
The book of Joel chapter 2 and 12. The book of Joel chapter 2 and the 12th verse. The second chapter of Joel and the 12th verse. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And the 13th verse, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repented Him of the evil. How can I circumcise my heart? I told you, one method is coming to the church to listen to the word of God. You don't come to show your beauty, you come to the church to show your ugliness before God and see the beauty of Christ. Amen. So our lives will change by looking at the beauty of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And here Joel is telling, rend your heart, tear it apart. Don't try to reform it. Let all the old blood fall away. It means you need to die. When somebody will rend his heart, what happens? He dies. You die to the self. That is what circumcision is all about. Let the sword come. Permit the sword to hit you. Sometimes people have been living too much in their own sin. For so many years, believers have not grown because they have not circumcised properly. They have not permitted the Lord to use the sword to correct. They have not come to the altar. Devil has been very clever to beautify sin and give it to us. Give it to the world. Devil will never show the ugliness of sin. He will always beautify sin. Because if the ugliness is exposed, you will not want it. I just remember an incident so many years back. Just before committing my life to the full-time ministry, a believer had just started a... One brother had started a hotel, and you know, he just wanted me to supervise. And I also didn't have work at the time. I said, okay, now, because I was like in between, now what am I supposed to do? So he said, you will be the working manager of the hotel. But I was not just a manager, but I was a servant. I was the cleaner. You know, early in the morning, I have to come, open the shop, broom it, sweep it, mop it, clean the tables. And you know, keep everything ready. And the cook will arrive, the one who does the work. You know, all the cooking. And then I need to keep everything ready for him. He will come, he will start the work, and then customers come. This, I went on for a few months. One day morning I come. You know, the last night, earlier night, he had made our Indian sambar. Now, I don't know how to tell these people about sambar. You know, your dad loves it. When he comes to India, he says, oh, sambar. You know, this sambar, the previous night he had made it. The morning I come, as usual, I clean. When I open the vessel to heat it up, there is a rat inside, jumping. I said, whoa, what am I supposed to do? So I waited for that man to come, the cook. And he came, and I told him, customer, the time is 6:30. I said, 7 o'clock, the customer, because one man comes every day, regular. Maybe he's having some problem with his wife. Poor fellow, he comes, he takes a cigarette slowly. He keeps smoking, I give him tea. Then he will ask for idli sambar. It was my regular, you know. That first customer, I have to see his face the very first day. And he's always depressed, poor fellow. And here, he arrived at 6:45. And here at 6:40, I'm telling him, brother, you need to make sambar very fast. He said, Shadrach, no problem. And you know what he did? You know, we have a tea filter with a cloth. You know, the tea filter with the cloth, he took the rat. And he threw it like that. It went flying outside. It was alive. And then he took the vessel. I said, what are you doing? Just see my work. He placed it on the fire, gas, stove. and put asafoetida. For sambar, that is pirangayam, yeah. We call it as asafoetida. For that's very important for sambar. He put all that, put little more, added little more masala, and nice smell. Now the customer, first customer is sitting there. Idli sambar, please. And I'm telling him, brother, I'm telling the cook, hey, you want me to give the sambar? If that guy gets food poisoned, he dies, something happens, I'm the one sitting here, man. People will come to kill me. Make some sambar. He said, no, you don't worry about it. Oh, my goodness. Lord, my mind, you know, when I think about the sambar, this is not sambar, this is rat poop sambar. Oh, my. So my imagination is working according to my thoughts. You know, I cannot give him. We had an argument. I said, I'm not going to give him. Then the owner came after some time. He complained to the owner. And for the owner, it is business. I was a little upset, you know, with the owner. I really had a fight with the owner. I told him, he was a believer. I told him, brother, you are a believer. Can you give the same sambar to your wife or children? Will you do it? If you can do that, it's okay. Then that, after that, you know, I even stopped going to work. So I just remember that incident of the rat poop sambar. You know, today, Satan's waste is the sins of this world. All his filth and dirtiness is a sin today in the world. And he has beautified it through Hollywood, Bollywood, Collywood. But what is inside? All poops. There is nothing else. So he beautifies, he tried to beautify, make some nice masala smell. And he tries to give. Come on, enjoy. It's so beautiful. Sometimes believers are like captured by those things. When you hear rock and roll music or you hear some worldly songs, romantic songs, sometimes it just pulls you. It's a net. The devil is trying to seduce the world. And he has done it. He has succeeded. But if some of us are still alive, it is all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't need to go to that world. That is why the Lord is saying, you have to circumcise yourselves. Come out of it. Surrender your life to God. Like, you know, let's read the book of Numbers. 2-3 scriptures I'll give and I want to finish it. I know we have another service. The book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 33, and the 55th verse. Yes, brother, you can read it. Numbers, chapter 33, and the 55th verse.
But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land very bitter.
This was a law given to the Israelites, but Amalekites. This was a law. Destroy them completely. Any influence that we have had in the past from this stinking, filthy world, we need to destroy it today.
Amen.
Or else they will vex your soul. They will be thorns all through your life. We need to live a victorious life before God.
Amen.
We need to live a life of liberty before God and men. If you don't have liberty, you cannot share your liberty with other people. Now I have a testimony about how I threw away my cigarette. I know how the power of the cross completely delivered me from the power of that sin. I have a testimony. From the age of 17 till 50 years old, now nearly for 33 years, I'm completely set free. Now when I meet a sinner who is smoking, when somebody who is drinking, my words turn powerful to them. Why? Because I have experienced the power of the cross. If we don't have a testimony, your sharing of Jesus Christ will become vain. Nobody is going to accept you. It is not the word, it is the life to which you are one with Jesus. That is one. That is the thing which will change others. If you expect your words to have power, then there is something in your life that you need to destroy. You can never keep the past influence within yourself. You cannot carry it inside the church of God. That is why before, you know, we go to, again, read one more scripture, then I'll continue with the same thing. Ezekiel chapter 44 and 9. The book of Ezekiel chapter 44 and the 9th verse.
Thus says the Lord God, no stranger uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary, of any stranger that is among the children of Israel.
Yes. No uncircumcised person can enter into the sanctuary of God.
Amen.
That is why when we see the tabernacle of Moses, we have the outer court, then we see another small tent inside which had the holy place and the most holy place. These are the three experiences that we have to go through spiritually. Outer court is the place where you had the baptism, the cleaning, the tank with water and the altar. This was in the outer court. So without the baptism and without the altar, you cannot enter into the sanctuary. The sanctuary was the holy place and the most holy place. The outer court was within the tabernacle, but it was separate from the inner sanctuary. So after baptism, the sheep, the first thing, the sacrifice is first washed by water and then placed on the altar. After baptism, if you don't go through the altar where the sword of God will cut your lives, you cannot enter the sanctuary, the holy place and the most holy place. You may be part of a church. You may be part of a building. You may be part of a group of people where even the truth and the word of God is preached with a pure conscience. But you can never enter the sanctuary inside your heart. You will just be an outward member. But you can never be an inward member. No way you can go inside, my brother and sister. Because this is the altar. You know, this altar is called in Exodus chapter 29 and 37. Exodus chapter 29 and the 37th verse. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and it shall be an altar most holy.
Amen.
Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy.
Amen.
Now all of us must have heard that the most holy place, where the Ark of Covenant is kept is the most holy place. But you should also understand, the altar was also called the most holy place. Without going through the altar, the most holy place, which is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Until you don't go to the cross and experience the power of the cross, you cannot enter the sanctuary. Where you can hear God's angels singing, and where you can hear God's voice speaking directly to your hearts.
Amen.
Believers have to depend on God for a season of time. Yes, we all depend on the church. We depend on the preachers. We depend on preaching. But when are you going to become a matured believer? When are you going to become a teacher? When are you going to be a true witness to Christ? We need to go through the altar. And the altar is called as the most holy. Where the Ark of the Covenant is kept is the most holy place. But when you come to the first altar, which is most holy, and whatsoever will touch the altar will become holy.
Amen.
Oh, what a power. Sometimes the cross is like the sword. That's why Jesus said, whosoever wants to be follow me should carry his cross daily. And Paul said, I die daily. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. It means Paul went through the altar, the apostles went through the altar, and that is why they were able to go into the most holy place, where they heard the voice of God directly. It is good to hear a message of God. It's good to hear a message through the servants of God. But every soul of Christ, every soul that has come to Christ, you should come to the altar so that through the altar you are sanctified, that you enter the most holy place, the sanctuary, where you have a divine romance with God.
Amen.
That is why many people are not growing in the church, because they have not permitted the sword of Christ to cut them. Still the old influence of the past life is chasing them. Still the shadow is chasing them. We should not see our shadow coming behind us. When it is 12 o'clock in the afternoon, when there is full of light, you will never see the shadow. Today we can see some shadows around, but when you have more and more of light in this room, the shadow will flee away. So we need to come to Jesus Christ. Where is the sword? It is right on the altar. Where is the altar? The cross of Christ. That is where John was standing. The rest of all the disciples ran away. John was the only one man who was standing before the cross. That is why I will say John died to the world when he stood before Jesus Christ. Because whatsoever will touch it will become holy. Many still don't have a true experience with Jesus Christ. Many believers, they know the truth intellectually, but they have not actually had a heart experience of true circumcision of the heart, where the word of God will cleanse and make you pure. I remember a man called Charles Finney. I read his life story. You know, Charles Finney had a very unique ministry. They say that he was more than 7 feet tall. So they called him Goliath by stature. But they said he was a David in heart. You know, Charles Finney's experience really touched me a lot. I said, when a man really goes to Jesus and his life is changed, he can do a great things. You know, you don't need to work so hard. A little of labor to Christ, you will bring forth a very big harvest. This man, Charles Finney, he's seeking the Holy Spirit and he's asking the Lord genuinely to meet him. And one day he says, I was praying in my home and I met Jesus. He said, when I saw Jesus, I fell at his feet and I started to cry. He said, I cried nearly for 1 hour. And after that, I got up from my knees and I saw the Lord was not there, but there was a great peace inside my heart. Then he's going to preach somewhere to somebody. As he's going towards, there was a field and, you know, there were all some young girls over there. And these young girls were looking at his height, you know, they were making fun of him. So Charles Finney, because there was a company, there was some industry over there. And people were working. So these girls had come out to fetch some water. And they're looking at him, such a tall figure coming, they were making fun of him. He said, I turned and looked at them. I don't know how I looked. I didn't speak a word. I didn't utter a word. I just looked at them. He said, these girls started to cry and come forward towards me. And they knelt down and started to cry and say, please preach to us about Jesus. He's saying, I was really moved. I didn't even speak a word. I just looked at them. And the power of God through my eyes looked at them. And they were crying. And when hearing their crying, the people who were working in the company, they came out. So why are our girls screaming and crying? And as they said, as they started to move towards me, everyone when they came near me, they started to cry. He said, that day, 100 people working in that factory came out crying. The owner who heard the commotion, he came and he saw, why are everybody crying? He also started to cry. He shut down the factory. And Charles Finney preached for all the 100 people. All of them got saved. When we really meet Christ, sometimes even a mere look is enough to change a sinner. You know why? All that will touch the altar will become holy. If you are touched by the altar, you become holy. And then you go, wherever you go, there is a fruit. And that is why we require the sword of the Spirit today. I pray in Jesus' name that each and every one of you will come before this altar. Come before this most holy altar. Place yourself on the altar and permit the Holy Spirit to work. So He will cut down all our weakness, all our sins, all our shortcomings, all that is displeasing to God, that our lives will become pure and holy before God. May God bless you all. Let's all have a word of prayer as we stand up. Oh, most blessed Lord, our gracious Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time, O God. Here we all have come before your altar, O Lord. We have come to lay down our lives, surrender our will, consecrate our lives, O God. Father, just like the priest will cut the sacrifice, cut the ram, cut the bullock, oh God. Cut the flesh, cut everything which is internal, bring it upon the altar. And then, oh Lord, they will burn it with fire, which is a sweet aroma before you, oh God.
Thank you, Lord.
I pray today the message which has gone, let it go and touch their hearts. You have called us, oh God. You never called a perfect people, but you called the people to perfect them. You never called strong people, but you called weak men of God, men and women, so that after they come into your presence, they will be made strong.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You never called righteous people, but you called sinners and the worst kind of people, O Father,
yes,
so that when we come before your presence, that you will make us holy like you, O God.
Amen.
Each and every one may be going through a problem today. Each one have their own weakness, have their own sorrows, have their own depression. Each one is going through tough times. Maybe these are the tough days of God. Just like the ship in the time of storm is being tossed here and there. Maybe somebody's life is being tossed to and fro, O Father. But Lord, we know there is an answer for everything. When we come before your altar of grace. Just like the book of Hebrews 4 and the last verse says, come to the throne of grace. Boldly come to the throne of grace that you may receive help in time of grace and mercy. These are the times of grace and mercy. These are the times when we can crucify our flesh so that the new life will spring forth. So that we die daily to the old man. Hour by hour, minute by minute, we crucify the things of the flesh and we have the new life in Christ, O Father.
Amen.
O God, the altar is most holy. And the place where the Ark of Covenant is kept is the most holy place. If we don't come to the most holy, the altar, we can never enter into the sanctuary, Lord. We may have understood intellectually, but not by experience. So we need to come and place ourselves on the altar. And today I pray, O God, many of the believers who heard the truth, not only in this church, but as this is going live among many brethren around the world, all those who have to place their lives on the altar, let them come forward, O God. Let them place it on the altar.
Yes, Lord
Jesus. You take your sword and cut it, O Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
O God, you said, circumcise your heart. It means we have to be hard on ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
We need to be hard on the sin or those things which is displeasing to you.
Yes, Lord.
It is not an easy thing. But give us the strength. Give us the strength, O God. Bible tells, let the weak say, I'm strong.
Amen.
We want to be strong in you, O God.
Amen.
Oh, bring in the sword, O God. Cut down everything that is displeasing to you. Cut every sin of the flesh from our lives.
Amen.
Cut out everything, O God, which grieves you.
Yes, Lord.
Let your holy presence come and fill us. And make us holy like you. Pure and sanctified.
Amen.
And when we walk on this earth, O God, there may be millions of pollutions around. But by the blood of Jesus, we can walk clean in this unclean world.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Because wherever, whatever touches this most holy altar will be made holy. And we know. Only the experience, the true, genuine experience of the cross can change our lives.
Amen.
And let, oh God, let us come to that sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
Let us come to that experience of the cross.
Take us, Lord.
Change us, oh God.
Changes,
from glory to glory.
Let
your grace and mercy be with these people. And Lord, we also pray for the second service.
Yes,
that you will strengthen me, strengthen each and every one who are here,
yes,
O Father.
Lord.
Yes, O Lord, give us the strength. We commit everything, O Lord, into the hands. In Jesus' precious name I ask this prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all.